Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, this is Ground Zero, celebrating the Loving the Movement, hosted by Nia Betts and Reginald Clements. We celebrate by recognizing the small steps and leaps and bounds of individuals and activist groups whom have led us further away from slavery and closer to full freedom, from mass incarceration through efforts for justice reform and society at large. Today, what I'd like to talk about, and I believe we have a guest lined up who will be calling in. I would like to talk about and cover the topic of medical treatment in the prison system. And the title of today's show is Execution by Medical Neglect. And that's not an exaggeration. It's not the title is to try and define what the actual situation really is, what it is that we're facing and we're dealing with behind these silent walls of the prison system, where it's a forgotten place. And a lot of people don't have enough interest to look upon and check upon the welfare and well-being of prisoners, other than our friends and loved ones and family members and everything. Some politicians do care about prison reform and actually communicate with prisoners and the activist groups that are engaged with prisoners. There's a young lady named Kimberly Ann Collins, a state representative in Missouri, who I encourage people to support because she is actively engaged with criminal justice reform in the Missouri prison system. And you just like the situation where people make philanthropic efforts and they just try to throw money at the situation when it comes to poverty or homelessness, and they just donate and don't even check up on what happens with the money. Well, you don't know the effect of the resources that you contribute or the efforts that you put forth unless you go and check to see what is actually needed. Because what's actually needed to help with the problem might not take as much money as you donate, but as much time and resources as you believe it will. It could simply take something as simple as checks and balances or increased transparency. With the prison system right now, the way it is, there are people dying here. How bad does it have to get in these well-painted buildings, these well-constructed, makeshift, prefabricated prisons? How bad does it have? I mean, what did the body count have to look like before the realization is that the prison system is overcrowded and underfunded and under-resourced? And it's not under-resourced because resources aren't available. It's under-resourced because it's plagued with kickbacks, lobbying, and people cooking the books and skimming money off the top. So much so that only a trickle makes it into the prison when it comes to resources. Administratively and clogged up in red tape and contracts and contract negotiations and different things. Just recently, a guy named Skip was on his way to medical, and he ended up passing away because when he had a heart attack. And when he had a heart attack, he passed out on the sidewalk, and he just laid there and gasping for air. And all he received skeleton crew staff, because there's days where they only have like 20 guards to manage 3,500 man prison. And there are a lot of guards have quit because of the conditions. And all the doctors walked off the job at one point, all the nurses. And at that time, there were no nurses. There was actually a dental assistant and two nurses, two LPNs in medical. And he just laid there gasping for air while the guard stood around not knowing what to do on his way to job. This is not the only situation where a person has just laid there and died without medical treatment for a lack of medical treatment or funding for medical treatment or medical staff who have a lack of concern for the well-being of the prison population when it comes to us being patients. And some people feel like we deserve to suffer. I just had two teeth pulled. And it took me over a year to get them pulled. But all this time, this past year, I've been suffering toothache after toothache. Because they don't do teeth cleaning, and they don't let us buy dental floss. And they don't do, and they rarely do fillings. They don't do root canals. So the means that would save a person's teeth and prevent a person from losing their teeth, I've been
this
home.
This call is from a correctional facility and may be monitored and recorded.
But the pain that I went through did not compare to a person losing their life and people dying of cancer and suffering from cancer. And there's somebody else that I would like to discuss in a later show named Roger Keaton. He's somebody who was diagnosed with cancer, and they knew he had cancer, but they neglected to treat him, and they waited until the cancer had reached his blood once you have cancer in your bloodstream, that means your body is saturated with cancer. There's no, when it's localized, if you have like a polyp in your prostate or in your colon, or you have a polyp in your throat, they can remove that polyp 5 or 10 minutes, sit, boom, it's done. Come back, check to see if it came back. And it's as simple a procedure as Dr. Pimple Pop. But instead, what these people do is they send you back to your city. There's people that have had heart attacks, went to medical after getting enough strength to walk, to be forced to walk to medical because they're not calling the stretcher or anything. You complain about chest pains, they think you're faking. They think you won't go up there and see the pretty nurses. And I'm saying the nurses do not look like supermodels. I'm not saying they're ugly. I'm not being offensive or disrespectful. But I'm saying it's not like Nicki Minaj is up there passing out medication. So if I say that I have a medical issue, then I'm supposed to get medical attention. But that's not how it works. People were sent back to their cells to lay up and die in their cells. This is something that happens regularly. And this has happened like with Roger Key. When he passed away from cancer, this is something that happened due to, you know what I'm saying, he let them know his family was calling the Department of Corrections trying to get him medical treatment. And the prison system has this red tape, bureaucratic red tape runaround that they do, where the prison system is not in control of the contractors who give us medical treatment, and the medical staff are not considered Department of Correction staff. But the warden is supposed to be in control of whether or not you can go out to get medical treatment, and can deny you from getting medical treatment, but it's not the warden's fault if you don't get medical treatment, because the warden isn't a doctor. I hope you understood all that, because that's one of the red tape rules and scenarios that they run you through. They utilize the bureaucratic structure to maintain whatever the laws call plausible deniability. And it's real hard to understand why would you go through so much trouble to deny somebody medical treatment for a life-saving procedure that only takes 5 or 10 minutes and costs less than $10,000. And you would delay that treatment to end up having to pay out and relinquish hundreds of thousands of dollars in possible civil litigation after wrongful death or criminal neglect complaint or deliberate indifference. And then also end up having to spend $30,000 to $50,000 treating them anyway for the full-blown cancer, where you have to do surgery and start trying to pick out the cancer when a person is already fatal. But you got to do something and do some type of medical procedure to make it appear as though you tried to do something once you found out through tests that the person actually was sick. When once again, it will only cost less than $10,000 for a 5 or 10 minute treatment in the first place. I'm saying that's the whole basis of the Affordable Care Act, is preventative treatment cuts down on medical costs. And it's proven to work. It's proven to work. But common treatment, common decency, is too good for a person. It's too good for people like me. And that's why people in prison end up dying from medical neglect, getting executed by medical neglect for non-capital crimes, for crimes that are related to drug addiction, from crimes that are related to self-defense, from crimes that are related to a person making a mistake once in their life and lose their temper and getting an assault charge, for which, okay, they rightfully deserve to do some time in prison for if they're guilty of that. If that's what the law say, a person is supposed to do 5 or 10 years for assaulting somebody, 5 or 10 years for theft to try and support their drug habit or for possession of drugs, okay, that's the law. Have to have some type of order in society. But a person does not deserve to be executed by medical neglect for shoplifting.
Dang, bruh. Dang.
Yeah. Yeah, and that's how deep and hard it is. That's how deep this goes. And we have to really, really look at, does a person deserve to suffer like that? Do a person deserve to die like that? Because cancer, imagine your nerve endings are on fire. Your skin is like tingling, like pins and needles all over your body. 24 hours a day for 4 months. Not 7 days a week, no, for 4 months, 24 hours a day for seven months. Because people go, it's a slow, painful, agonized death. Your body is fighting to survive. For shoplifting. Your body is fighting to survive because you had a drug habit and you stole a watch out of jewelry store to try and go get high.
This call is from a correctional facility and may be monitored and recorded.
Or somebody punched you in the face and you ended up beating the brakes up off of them. When they initiated, started the fight, after you beat the brakes off of them, they needed medical attention. Police showed up and they pressed charges. It happens. It happens. Where people get, you know what I'm saying, they be in a self-defense posture, end up being able to fight more than the person that attacked them and end up beat the brakes up off of them out of reflex, response, and passion at the moment. A person don't deserve to suffer a torturous death of, like, appendicitis or something that is treatable. Appendicitis, that has to hurt. Something in your body rupture. They don't stand, and these people, they'll be so strong. Man, I had a situation where I snapped my Achilles heel. And when I went to the doctor told me, we're going to give you an ace wrap and some crutches and see how that works out. I'm like, what? I need surgery. He said, oh, it might be an ankle sprain. I was like, no, don't you see that? My whole ankle, the heel of my foot was purple instantly within less than 5 hours. It was purple from, like bruising and everything. Really what that was the blood pooling and my body trying to figure out how to repair something that is unrepairable by my body, right? So I knew, because I had injuries before, I rolled my ankle in there. I know it rolled ankle feel, right? And I had done anything to roll my ankle. Then I know if I sprint rolled my ankle, it rolls over. I wasn't doing anything to roll my ankle. I took what's called, some people might know it's drop step. I stepped back and sprung forward and did a snap. And it took a whole lot of people filing and complaining and calling them for this for me to get medical treatment. Because there's people in the prison system right now who have had to file grievances and complaints and lawsuits and all that the treatment for their Achilles heel and ended up eventually getting treatment, but they had to take a cadaver, an Achilles heel from the dead body, take the Achilles tendon from a dead body and put it in somebody's ankle.
You have 1 minute left.
If you catch it early enough, preventative treatment, once again, catch it early enough, all you gotta do is go in there, open it up, pull the tendon down, wrap it up with a wire, or wrap it up with nylon, surgical nylon, so that it can heal to itself. Hang up, close it up, and let it heal. And fortunately, mine was caught early enough to have that procedure done. By Dr. Turnbull. I'm grateful for that, and I thank God for that opportunity provided to me. But that's a situation where it's preventative care. But they wanted to just give me crutches and an ace wrap for wanted to be cool. That's how I felt anyway.
Thank you for using security. Goodbye.
So we got 10 minutes left of this call, and Reggie is full of information, y'all. That's why I just let him say what he got to say, because it is so nuanced to these situations, right? We can come and we can come and we can think of all of the different types of objectification that they put us through in these prisons. But Reggie has real life experience of this. So all the ifs and the could have beens and all the what ifs and all the things, right? I'm getting Reggie back on the line now. David, what's going on behind them prison walls? But Reggie has the experience, right? And he has the information and that inside. That's why this podcast is so important, because Reggie pays attention. He has the ability to see the obstruction that they hide from the people. Our experiences are, this is honestly all I can talk about, because our experience is something that nobody can take away from us. They say, oh, you can't take the education that the white man gives to you, and that can't be taken away from you, so you better go to that college and you better go do. No, bro. What's more important, even though education is a fundamental thing, but if you are not living life through multiple facets of experience, you would not know what is going on. So yes, Reggie is in a fucked up place. Yes, for whatever reason, our people are getting into these fucked up positions, and we can what if all day on why they got there, how they got there, was the case legit. But when they get behind those walls, we know one thing. They're not being taken care of. They're not treated as human beings. It's modern-day slavery in those behind those prison walls. That's a fact, bro. And that's just not right. How can I, for minor crimes, for any type of drug possession, if we know our communities are sick, why aren't they going to get healed? They're being put behind prison walls with people who don't care about them, people who have already labeled them as criminals, people who have already subjected them to death and sentenced them to death in their minds. These are not people who want to help you. And Reggie's back on the line, so I'm going to let him close us out with these last 5 minutes.
Yes, I want to thank you all for listening, but more than thanking you for listening, I want to encourage you to get involved. I want to encourage you to go look up the ACLU. Complain to the ACLU about not doing anything about prison. Ask them, what are they doing about prison? The NAACP, complain to them about prison. Ask them, what are they doing about prison and prison reform? I'm not saying they're not involved. But what I'm saying is, without your participation, without your contribution, without your support for OVS, for NAACP, for politicians and people in government like Kimberly Ann Collins and Carla Coffey, right? And different people who, Zaki Baruti, Keith Brown Hill, Missouri Cure, Missouri Prison Reform. Get involved. Get informed. If you, I'm saying, I'm not asking you to take my word for it.
Exactly. All right?
These things is happening. This is horrible. It's horrible what happened. It makes me think of gulags and internment camps in Auschwitz, Germany. Things that I've heard about. It makes me think about Bloody Sunday. It makes me think about the Devil's Island, because Devil's Island didn't become Devil's Island overnight. Devil's Island was a gradual progression of dissension, where we descended away, further and further away from our humanity, to the most base state of bestiality, where we beastified another human being. And When you stop caring, when I become a thing instead of a somebody, that's when it doesn't matter what happens to me. It doesn't matter what happens to the person next to me. Then you have me in such fear of retaliation that I'm not even finna complain about what happens to the person next to me. And the reason I'm speaking out and I'm speaking up and I'm speaking is because my humanity is intact. It's from the love and the compassion and the prayers that people have shared with me when I was on death row, fighting for my life on death row. And I'm saying it makes me want to cry every time I think about it. When I think about people all over the world fighting to save my life, a stranger, because of their humanity.